Joy to be here at Peace Church, to be a pastor, to be a part of the amazing pastoral team that God has brought with Pastor John, Pastor Nate, and under the leadership of Pastor Ron. God has some incredible things in this next season, and it's just amazing to be here and to serve as a pastor of Family Ministries. Well, this morning, the Lord's put on my heart to preach on a biblical topic that I believe we so desperately need in this day. My message this morning is titled, Gospel Peace in the Family. As we're all aware and feel, peace is completely absent in our country right now. Now, just when you think things can get worse, we had another bad week. 2020 has been heartbreaking. And sadly, I think there's more unrest and division and discord to come with the election on the horizon. Now, a friend recently shared with me this meme that I thought it did a good job of summarizing what 2020 has been like. And to get a little chuckle here, if 2020 was a scented candle, it's been a hard year. But it has been tough, and this year has been unlike any other. And my worry is that the divisions and the conflict that's been swirling all around us might be impacting our families. We're living in a culture that rejects God as creator and Lord. We're living in a culture that lives as if God doesn't exist. And it seems that our culture's currency is division. Just turn on the news, open your social media. Division is what sells today. The media is profiting off of it. Peace is nowhere to be found. Yet we at Peace Church know that there's a better story. We hold firmly that our God is a God of peace, and our Father sent Jesus to be our peace. The Apostle Paul teaches this clearly in Ephesians 2, as we read, Apostle Paul speaking of Jesus, he said, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. And he came," and I love this, "he came and he preached peace to you who are far off, and to peace to those who are near. What our world needs now more than ever is peace that's only possible through Jesus. In John 10, Jesus says that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. God created us to find our peace in him. But sadly, people are looking to politicians and social causes to solve the problem of our world today and bring about peace. But as we, as people of faith know, we know that looking for peace outside of Jesus is futile. This morning, I want to focus in on seeking and living in peace in our homes and families. This has been a year unlike any other. And my worry is that the divisions and conflicts that are all around us are impacting our families. Now, here's the thing. We know that in family, we encounter conflict. Every family deals with hurt. That we experience conflict and hurt in our family is really not the problem. The real test of a family is how we address conflict in the home. Do we ignore the pain and hurt that we cause each other? Do we stuff the hurt or have it blow up later on? Or do we address hurt and conflict head on with the gospel? Conflict's inevitable, but for the family that follows Christ, conflict in the home should push us to lean in with the gospel. Conflict is an opportunity for the gospel. The gospel alone has the power to address broken relationships and restore peace in our families. So my main idea this morning that I want to press in on is that families that lean into the gospel to address conflict will grow stronger and experience peace. Will you read that with me? Families that lean into the gospel to address conflict will grow stronger and experience peace. Well, let me put our main idea in a negative. It would say this: families that ignore conflict are in danger of increasing bitterness, division, and lack of peace. And so this morning, I don't want to ignore conflict. I want to encourage us to look and to press into the conflict that we may experience in our homes and to seek peace. Well, this morning I want to highlight from Scripture the essential ingredients that are needed to address conflict in our homes with the gospel. And here's my prayer this morning, is that God would speak to each of our hearts, and it would reveal the relationships that are in need of peace, healing, and restoration. I long to see God bring healing to broken marriages, I long to see God bring peace to families that are struggling and hurting. Our world, what our world needs most is the witness of us as followers of Jesus, of families that are pursuing peace and living in the power of the gospel. And so my deep prayer this morning is that the families of Peace Church, that we might be that witness, that we might be the witness to the world of how Jesus gives and brings peace. Well, this morning I want to look at our text from Hebrews 12. And so I want to read this text this morning and then pray together. Hebrews 12, 14 through 15 is what we're going to dig into this morning. Let me read it for you. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Will you pray with me? Lord, we come to you now and we pray that you would prepare the soil of our hearts to seek and to press into how we can seek the gospel to find peace in our homes. Lord, this world or all around us, there's so much division, unrest, conflict, discord. And Lord, we as followers of you know that you are the God of peace. And so we pray that you would bring peace to us as we seek you, Lord. We thank you for Jesus. He is our peace. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, it often surprises people when I tell them that I have a bachelor's degree in chemistry. It's not your traditional route into full-time pastoral ministry. But should there ever be a need to balance equations or do organic chemistry, I'm your guy. Now, as a chemistry major, I've spent countless hours in lab. And if you were a science major, you know what I'm talking about. So in lab, I did quite a few experiments with a crucible. And right here is kind of what I use in my lab experiments. And here's a crucible of a larger crucible of a foundry. But if you didn't know, a crucible is a ceramic container that you can heat to extremely high temperatures in order to melt metals. Now, the purpose of a crucible is to separate out impurities by driving the impurities to the top so that they can be skimmed off and discarded. Now, the relationships within a family are a lot like a crucible. Under the extreme heat and intense heat of family relationships, our real character is revealed. The best and far too often the worst. Now here's the truth. Who we are at home is who we really are. Who we are at home is who we really are. Do you ever notice when you're at work, you can go a whole day without losing your patience with your coworkers, but when you get home, within 10 minutes, you lose your cool with your spouse or your kids? Now why does this happen? Well, it's because home is real life. Home is who you really are. This happens because the heat of family relationships brings character flaws to the surface. And to put it bluntly, at home, with our families, our sin and selfishness rise to the surface for our families to see. Our families see the best and the worst of who we really are. Now, my wife will often say to me, "I really wish people at church could see what you're really like." Now, I haven't figured out yet if she's joking or threatening me, but I'm thinking probably a little bit of both. In our families, we have a front row seat to the best and worst of who we are. And the truth is, the heat and crucible of family relationships, in the heat and the crucible of family relationships, we hurt one another. In little ways, and sadly, in big ways. Now, in the midst of this environment, what are we called to do? The writer of Hebrews provides us with some help. And he says this, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Now, contrary to what I think many people believe, peace is not something we stumble upon. Peace is something that we strive for. Peace takes effort. Peace takes work. Now, when conflict arises, peace is not obtained by ignoring it or avoiding it, even though sometimes we try to do that, but by making every effort to pursue peace and to lean in with the gospel. So the question remains, how do we do this? How do we strive for peace? Now, I think the answer is provided in the next verse, verse 15. It says, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, to keep their eyes on the gospel, and that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled." So I've got this jar here with some soil, a mason jar, and I've got a little seed here. And so picture in mind, this little seed is like a seed of hurt. And a relational conflict starts with a seed of offense or a seed of hurt that's done by one family member to another. And so as you know, when you take a tiny seed and you plant it in the soil, what happens when that seed is planted? Well, if you remember experiments from elementary school, left over time, and if there's appropriate water and sun, that seed will start to grow. But where does it grow first? It grows first underneath the surface. It starts to send down roots before you can even see anything from the top. And so before we even see the seed produce something above the soil, there's already bitter roots going down. Now the same is true with a hurt that we can experience from one another in our family. Now, as family members, whether unintentionally or intentionally, we can say something to give a seed of hurt and deposit that seed. But the question is, how do we deal with it? And so the writer of Hebrews is warning us to deal with those seeds of hurt right away. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up. And so the consequence of unaddressed hurt in a family, what's the consequence of that? That will cause trouble and by it defile many. The consequence is that we can bring trouble into our family if we don't deal with that hurt. If we don't deal with that offense right away, that seed can go down into our hearts and produce bitter roots. So combining these analogies, the crucible and the seed, the heat of family relationships brings to the surface our sin and our selfishness. And so when a hurt or offense occurs, it's like a seed that when planted, it produces this root of bitterness. And here's the thing, when that is left undealt with over time, that root of bitterness can cause trouble and even defile the entire family. And so here's the thing. That's why it's so important this morning that I want to emphasize to deal with this seed of hurt that we cause one another in a family so that there would not be bitterness that drives a wedge between family members. Dealing with hurt, dealing with offense right away is how we can live at peace with one another. So with our remaining time, I want to look at three essential ingredients for pursuing peace when we're in hurt. Three essential ingredients for pursuing peace when we're hurt. And here's what I want to say right up front. I want all of us right now to pause and to examine our hearts and ask the Holy Spirit maybe to identify a person. Maybe in our family or extended family, could even be somebody outside of our family, but identify a person in your life that you may need to take these steps of peace that we're going to review this morning and be praying about that as we go on. So essential ingredient number one of pursuing peace is this: go to God for help. Now think about it. Dealing with conflict in a God-honoring way involves what? It involves forgiveness, it involves healing, it involves reconciliation, restoration. All those are big words, but all those words are matters of the heart, right? Those words happen in our heart, and they're God's territory. When forgiveness occurs, it's a miracle. When reconciliation occurs, it's a miracle. It's something that God does in us. It requires God to work and to move in our hearts. And so prayer is the acknowledgement that we need God. And so we need to start there, to start to say, when we're pursuing peace, is to go to the Lord. And we need God to change our hearts and to change our heart of our family member in conflict if we're to experience true healing. James 5:16 says this: therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So in this verse, James calls us to confess our sin to one another, which includes the sins that we commit one another in our families. And then James says to do what? To pray for healing, which includes the healing within the relationships with our family. And when we do this, that prayer, and for prayer of the righteous, is powerful and effective. And so I don't know about you, but I talk a lot about, and it can easily we can talk a lot about the importance and the priority of prayer, but so often we end up praying very little, and that's sadly sometimes true of myself. But here's the thing that I know. The times that I've dealt with the hardest conflicts and the deepest hurts in relationships, and the times that I've genuinely sought the Lord in prayer, are the times when I've seen God work most powerfully in my heart and in the heart of the other person. Prayer works. Prayer is powerful. And so I want to give you three prayers that we need to be praying when we're in a conflict. Three ways that we can be praying. Number one is this. Pray and start by praying for your own heart. Start here. Now, it's tempting to begin our prayers for God, to pray for the other person. God, I'm going to pray that you change their heart. From our vantage point, right, it's their fault. They're the ones that need to change. I didn't do anything. But listen closely. Rarely is family conflict 100% the fault of one person and 0% the fault of another. We can so easily deceive ourselves that we have done nothing wrong. And so that's why we need to start by praying that God will reveal the error in our hearts. Now, I absolutely love how King David prays in Psalm 139. Listen to this. King David says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Starting with prayer for our own hearts is key if God's going to bring healing and peace in our relationships. The next area that we need to pray for when we're in conflict is pray for God to bless the other person. Now, this prayer is not easy, but it's extraordinarily powerful. When we're in conflict with someone, the last thing in the world, right, that we want to do is to pray for them, right? We're more inclined to pray like King David did towards his enemies, pray that God might smite them. But Jesus taught us differently. In Luke 6:28, Jesus says this, listen to this, "Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." And in Matthew 5:44, Jesus says this, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And so when we pray for blessing over the other person, our heart can be softened, and two things can happen. One, God can answer that prayer, and God's blessing and preparing of the other person as we pray for a blessing on them. And number two, that blessing can soften our hearts, and we can begin to see the person through the eyes of Jesus, which is very powerful and needed. And so finally, the third area that we need to be praying for and seeking God in is to pray for reconciliation. Pray for reconciliation. So don't forget, what's the end goal as we pray for? Is that we're seeking a restored relationship. It's vital that we pray for that. Pray for God to help us to confess our sins and forgive the other person of their actions. Pray for that. Pray that God may restore this relationship. Because that's what the heart of the gospel is, that God sent his son to restore his relationship with us, and not only that, but to restore our relationships with one another horizontally. So pray for God to reconcile this relationship. So that's the first essential ingredient is go to God for help. So when it comes to a difficult family relationship, we need to start there. We need to start in prayer, so that God can fix our own hearts and prepare the hearts of the other person. So essential ingredient number two is this. Own your part. Own your part. Now, as I shared, very rarely is family conflicts one-sided, with all the fault resting on just one person. Even if the problem is mostly their fault, we have likely contributed to the situation, however small. So you might be thinking, well, you don't know my situation. I didn't do anything wrong. I promise you, it was all their fault. Now, as I said, that's possible, but that's very rare. Because you see, as humans, we have this thing called, and this condition called pride. And pride has this incredible ability to magnify the faults of another person while literally blinding us to the faults that reside in us. Pride deceives us into believing our actions and motives were perfect while the other person's were wrong. For peace to be restored and reconciliation to occur, each person has to own their part. Each person has to repent for their part of the conflict, however small or however big. Now, here's the thing. This is so hard because sin so easily deceives us. We clearly can see the wrong in the other person, and we can see the ways they've hurt us. But pride keeps us from taking our eyes off what they have done and to look how we've contributed to the conflict. Now, here's the thing. If we fail to own our part of the conflict, we'll never experience peace and reconciliation. A few years back, I had a very significant relational conflict with someone I was close with. And guess what? I was totally convinced that I didn't do anything wrong, right? I analyzed all the facts, and in my mind, I came out the winner every time. Anybody ever do that? Do you ever do that? We all do, right? That's what pride is. And so for many months, I remained blind to how I contribute to the conflict. But one day, a godly friend challenged me to pray. He said, Travis, you need to sit before the Lord and set aside an hour to be still before God. And you need to ask him to reveal if there was anything you have done to contribute to this broken relationship. Well, I wasn't really excited to hear that, but I reluctantly did just that. And what happened was incredible. The Lord broke my pride, and he spoke to me. He revealed that I had contributed to the breakdown of this relationship. And through that time of prayer, God showed me that my heart was broken and I needed to confess my sin to the other person and to seek forgiveness and peace. When we fail to own our part in the conflict, we hinder and even stop the process of healing and reconciliation. The truth is when we understand the gospel rightly, we should be humbled to realize the great debt that God paid for our sin, that we should be humbled and be able to confess and repent to others. Listen how Romans 2, 3 through 4 says this. It says, when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? Repentance is taking responsibility for the wrong you've done, not making up excuses for your behavior, not blaming the other person. Now, we all know the apology that isn't the apology, right? I'm sorry I did that, but I wouldn't have done that if you had done what you had did. And that's not owning your part. That's making up excuses. True repentance is taking responsibility for our part in the conflict. And so the third essential ingredient is restoring peace, is owning our part. And that brings us to essential ingredient number three, what I'm calling cancel the debt. Now, the heart of the gospel message is this, that God sent Jesus, his son, to pay the debt for our sins. And God offers this free gift of forgiveness, a gift that's only possible because God canceled the debt of our sin and on his son. Listen to Colossians 2, 13 through 14. It says, and you who were dead in your sins, God made you alive with Christ, and having forgiven us all our sins, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. One of the most powerful scriptures on forgiveness is another one that says, Colossians 2, it says, as the Lord has forgiven, so you also must forgive. And so when God says that, as the Lord has forgiven, so you must also forgive, he's directing our attention to the extraordinary forgiveness of our sins, which is only possible through the giving of his son. And here's the thing, our ability to forgive from the heart, it's only possible because God has forgiven us. Forgiveness is not easy, especially when we've been hurt very deeply. Now imagine that there's some of you here that have been hurt very deeply, and you're struggling to cancel the debt and forgive the other person and the wrong they've done to you. Forgiveness, though, I think sometimes is a process. It takes time. And so I want to share just real quickly what that process of forgiveness may take for us to forgive someone who's hurt us deeply. The first step of that process is that we need to make a choice. We need to make a choice to obey God's command. If we're commanded to forgive, then forgiveness involves a choice. The first step of forgiveness is involving our own will. It begins as we make a decision to obey the command of God and to forgive our brother or sister. But here's the thing, if forgiveness is a choice, we're confronted with some obstacles right away. I know how I've thought in the past is that we may say, you know what, I don't feel ready. I don't feel ready to forgive my sister or my husband. Or my husband hasn't accepted responsibility for his actions. Or my spouse hasn't really apologized for the hurt that they've done to me. Now, while these reasons may have truth, none of them are relevant in this first step. Feelings are not our friends. If you wait to feel ready to forgive someone, you may be waiting your entire life. We must choose obedience to God over our feelings. I'm not saying that's easy. It often will not be. But when we take that first step of obedience, we open our hearts up to this next phase of forgiveness. Forgiveness from the heart. In this next phase, Jesus calls us in Matthew 18. He says, Jesus calls to forgive our brother or sister from the heart. Now, as I said earlier, the heart is God's territory. And we need to look to the Lord for help in this. And so our prayer may go something like this. Lord, I've chosen to forgive my dad. It's not easy, and my feelings are still a struggle, but I've chosen to forgive him because you have forgiven me. Lord, I ask now that you would heal my heart. I don't want to be filled with resentment and anger. Lord, change my heart to love my dad or whoever family member that may be. Forgiveness from the heart is a miracle, and only God can do it, but we need to seek him for help. It may not happen automatically. Sometimes it may take years of regular prayer for God to heal our hearts of serious wounds. But make no mistake, God can and he will help us forgive from the heart if we seek to him. So the last step in forgiveness process is his ultimate aim, is forgiveness in our family relationships. And the last step is this in our process, is seeking a restored relationship. The ultimate end in these broken relationships that I'm talking about this morning is that you may be reconciled from this family member. There's something in between you. There's a hurt, there's offense, and we need to deal with it. Jesus has dealt with the sin by sending his own son for us, and the power of the gospel gives us ability to do that. But here's the thing, the restored relationship, though, it takes two parties, willing to pray, willing to own their part and repent, and willing to grant forgiveness. Our responsibility in the reconciliation process is to do all we can. Romans 12:18 says this, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. We can't control the attitudes and actions of our family members. They may have no interest in forgiveness or reconciliation at this point, but we need to keep praying. And we need to do everything as it depends on us so that we can seek peace and healing in that relationship. So in closing, I want to encourage all of us here this morning to examine our family relationships this morning. So my main idea this morning was this. Families that lean into the gospel to address conflict will grow stronger and experience peace. Who's that family member that God may be putting on your heart to reach out to pray for, to pursue? And remember, we begin by we pray. We go to God and say, Lord, I need help. I want to pray for this person. I want to pray for my own heart. I want to pray that you'd restore this relationship. And after that, we need to recognize, hey, what have I done to contribute to this conflict? To press into your heart and to pray, Lord, show me how I can acknowledge how I've contributed to this, however small or big. And then finally, we need to seek that person out and to forgive, to cancel that debt, because Christ has done that for us. So the worship team's going to come up here in a moment, and they're going to lead us in a song. And I want to encourage us as we're closing and responding in worship, is to be praying who the Lord may be pushing us to go out now from this service and to pray about and maybe to seek a restored relationship. God's desire is that we would live at peace in the home. There's division, there's discord all around us in this world. But as the church, we have peace because Jesus is our peace. So let me pray for us, and then we're going to respond in song and worship this morning. Will you pray with me? Lord, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would be stirring in all of our hearts. Who we need to seek a restored relationship with, Lord. Lord, you are a God of peace, and there's so much discord and division around us, Lord. We want to be people of peace here, and we're going to start in our homes. We're going to start with our spouses, with our children. Lord, we want to acknowledge, Lord, and not allow these seeds of hurt to bring division in our family, but to pursue peace, to make every effort to live at peace. So, Lord, we thank you for what Christ has done. He gives us the ability to do that. And so, Lord, we worship you now. It's in Christ's name we pray.